This morning, as we come together to celebrate the fact that our Lord is risen, we talk about it all the time, about how He's the only one that's no longer in the grave. All the other tombs of the leaders of religions you can go to, and their bones are still in that tomb, but not our Jesus. He is alive and alive forevermore. This morning, we are going to start in Matthew chapter 28, just a few short verses. And as we look at this, I want us to see and focus on the difference that it makes. So if you would read along with me in Matthew 28. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. As the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, may we never see this as just the same passage over and over. But Lord, may we see it the way you want us to this morning. May we understand, may we hear from you. Lord, speak in this place. If you don't meet us, it's just another day. If we don't submit, it's a waste of our time. If we don't learn to love you more, then we have failed. Father, watch over us this day. Help us to bring honor and glory to you. Bless your word and the time we have to give it back to you. In your name we pray. Amen. This passage, like I said, is one of those that, as a pastor, you preach on it every Easter. And it's something that, I think probably everybody here in this congregation has heard this passage. And if it's not this one, then it's always Luke chapter 24. But this morning, I wanted to look at the passage here in Matthew because of some of the things that Matthew focuses on. And so I think it's really important for us to see this, because I think about Mary, and sometimes we just give Mary the credit. There was other women that were there with her, depending on which gospel you read about who was there. And here it says Mary and the other Mary, and then it tells in some of the other gospels that the other women might have been with her. And so in that case, it's a small group of people nonetheless. But we're going to focus just on Mary this morning and knowing that the others were there, but so that we can single it down and it be a little simpler for us maybe. But when Mary got to that tomb and the women got to that tomb, what did they find? They found the stone rolled away. They found the guards that were shaken and scared and passed out and as dead men. They found an empty tomb. And they found an angel sitting on the stone. All of those things, if we sat here and if somebody came in that had never heard this passage and we told them that information, that those women had went to the tomb and they found those four things, that would just be information for them. And they could take that information and they could do whatever they wanted to with it. But that information alone does nothing. That information by itself, knowing that the stone was moved, the guards knew that. It done them no good. Knowing that the guards themselves had passed out for fear of this angel, that's good information, but it really does nothing for me. The fact that that tomb was empty, that's important for us. We know, we believe, but if somebody doesn't know and believe, then that's just an empty hole in the ground. It's more than that, we know. But if somebody just takes it as information that the stone is moved, the guards have passed out, and the tomb is empty, it means nothing. That information by itself means nothing. And the angel that's sitting there on the stone, people that had contact with angels before, and so to find out that there was an angel there that day, that information still means nothing. There are people going to church all over the world today and celebrating Easter. And they are getting all of the right information. And they're going to walk out and it's going to mean nothing. If all you take is the information, then the information, one day, you'll forget. Information is good. What they found there, the information that they received there, is good information. But if that is the only thing that you take away from that, then that information will do you no good. Because people all across the world are missing the Savior because all they're getting is information. Let's look at what Mary receives. We know that the angel tells her that Jesus is risen. He was crucified. And remember how he told you he was going to rise from the grave? Well, he's done that. He's no longer here. So she didn't just find an empty tomb. The angel told her that Jesus had risen, just like he said. And then he told her to do something. This is where information changes things. Information, when it's obeyed, changes life. It alters life. She had the information. The information she received was about the tomb. And that Jesus is risen. He's no longer here. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. She got the right information. And if that person came in here today that walked through those doors that had never heard this, and we told them all of the right information, if an angel of God told them the right information that happened here at the tomb, that should be enough. But if Mary turned away and walked home and done nothing with that information, then Mary missed it. If we come to church today and we hear about this information and we celebrate this information and we go home, the excitement is going to fade. You can hear great information and get really excited and it do no good. But Mary, it tells us in verse 8, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples the word. That's what she was told to do. So she took that information and she did something with it. What are you going to do with the information that you get today? Well, it depends on, Pastor, what the information is. No, it doesn't. You need to make up your mind today. Whatever God gives you, are you going to do anything with it? Because if you're thinking it's my information, it's not my information. I am reading out of God's Word what He put in there. And when you take it or you don't take it, that's not up to me. That's your response. And so you need to decide when you come into church, whether it be Easter, whether it be Christmas, whether it be any other Sunday, whether it be a Bible study, anytime you go into hearing the Word of God, you need to decide what are you going to do with that information that He gives you that day. Why do you decide beforehand? Because sometimes if you don't decide what you're going to do with it beforehand, why should He give it to you? If you're not sure what you're going to do, if I'm not sure I'm going to receive, I'm going to come in and whatever the pastor tells me today, if it's something that's interesting, it's something I think applies to my life, then I will do something with it. But, you know, today I'm not going to. Well, then why would God give you anything if He knows that you're not going to obey Him? But Mary did obey. And look what happened when she took the information that God gave her through that angel and she obeyed. It tells us in verse 9 that as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them. He didn't meet them and then they went. As they were going, they met Jesus. When God gives you information, when God calls you to do something, whatever it is, if it's accepting Him for the first time, if it's surrendering your life to ministry, if it is living the daily life that He has set before you to glorify Him, as you do that, He will meet you. Well, it would be a whole lot simpler and I'd have a whole lot more enthusiasm and a lot more encouragement if He would meet me first and then send me out. But that doesn't take faith. So what we have to do, what we're called to do, is when He gives us information, we're to run quickly to obey. And that obedience is going to bring interaction with Jesus. It's going to bring interaction with Jesus. Now, I'm not talking, and it'll bring interaction with other people too. But the information He gives you in His Word, what He calls you to do, how He calls you to serve, how He calls you to love, how He calls you to obey, run quickly. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times when I'm pretty hesitant when He tells me to do something. I stop and think about it, and I'm sure you do too. Well, how am I going to go about this? Does it mean right now, God? Do you want me to go now, or do I wait until things get a little easier? No, they ran quickly to do what He told them to do. And when they did, as they went, they met Jesus. You know, when we start serving Jesus like we're supposed to, we'll run into Jesus. Jesus will meet us when we're obedient. Sometimes, well, you know, it's been a long time since I've had a Jesus encounter or whatever you want to call it, since I really felt like the presence of God affected my life. Maybe it's because I'm not obedient enough. Because if I'm not obedient, if she's not obedient, she's not on that road. And Jesus is not there. But when she's on the road where she's supposed to be, Jesus meets her there. And if you and I are on the road we're supposed to be on, Jesus will meet us there. She met the risen Savior because she was following through with the information that God had given her. And then look what happens. He tells her to rejoice. Be glad. So they came and they held his feet. Imagine Mary as she's excited, she's running to tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead, and all of a sudden she meets Jesus and she's able to fall at his feet and hold on to his feet and just cling to Jesus. At that moment, nothing else in her life is any more important than hanging on to Jesus. Can you imagine that? It's a dusty road, and she's tired, but she's running. And as she goes, she meets Jesus, and he speaks to her, and she's able to turn around and just grab his feet. They're on that dusty road. I bet she wasn't thinking about the dusty road. I bet she wasn't thinking about, man, his feet are dirty. She wasn't thinking about, oh man, I'm going to stand back up now. She wasn't thinking about anything else but the feet of Jesus and hanging on to him. And if you and I, if we will do what he tells us to do, if we'll follow the information he gives us in his word, if we'll follow his plan, if we'll follow his will, he will meet us there on that road, and you will have the opportunity to cling to Jesus. How long has it been since you really feel like you have just clung to Jesus? How long since you've been at the feet of Jesus and nothing else has mattered, and you're able just to hang on and not worry about the dusty road and not worry about the dirty feet and not worry about the people standing around? You're just able to cling to Jesus and nothing else matters. She's able to cling to the risen Savior that day. We are able to cling to him today. Maybe not physically. I can't reach out and physically grab his feet, but I can fall to my knees. I can open my heart and I can cling to him, knowing that nothing else really matters. If I breathe my last breath right now, then the next breath is in heaven. If he splits that eastern sky and comes back for me, then he's going to usher me into heaven. Nothing else really matters. If I cling to him, I don't know how else to say this, but if I cling to this pulpit, then I can't cling to that pew. If I cling to that piano, then I can't cling to that keyboard. If you will cling to Jesus, you can't cling to anything else. If you cling to anything else, you can't cling to Jesus. Because we have a risen Savior that's no longer in that tomb, you have the opportunity, I have the opportunity to cling to Jesus, not just in the morning when I get up and I'm in my rocking chair, not just at night when I get in my bed. I have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to cling to Jesus all day long. But I'm too busy. I've got other things to do. Other people are watching. Mary, because Jesus rose from the dead, was able to meet him, able to come to him and cling to his feet. We have that privilege. We have that blessing, that opportunity every single day. And we have important things in our life. I'm not saying we don't. But nothing is more important than Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead and conquered the grave so that we could do that. And when she clung to his feet, look what happened. They came to his feet, held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. Now, they didn't pull a keyboard out of the bushes and start playing music and sing. No, their heart began to overflow with how much they loved Jesus. How long has it been since you or I just broke out in worship to the risen Lord without anybody else saying, okay, stand with us and sing, or someone else instigating it? When you or I, as individuals, when we stopped and we just said, my heart overflows for the love I have for my risen Savior. That's where we need to be. But that will never happen until I get to where I cling to Him. And I will never cling to Him until I have that interaction with Him. And I'll never have that interaction with Him until I obey His instruction. There on that road, a worship service broke out. No building, no congregation, no preacher, just hearts spilling out for the risen Savior. They were able to worship Jesus, and nothing else mattered. So being obedient brought interaction. Interaction brought worship. And then what did worship bring? Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There you will see me. Don't miss any of that. Because the first thing He says is don't be afraid. There are a lot of fears and worries in this life. A lot of terrible things happen in this world, in this broken world. But you don't have to fear. Why did she not have to fear? Because she was in obedience to God's will. She had met with Jesus. She was worshiping Him, and now He was giving her more instructions. So it's obedience, interaction, worship, and then more obedience. Because He tells her, don't be afraid, but go and tell. Well, man, that's what I was doing. She was on her way to go and tell. And Jesus met her. And a worship service broke out. And then Jesus said, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. Now, Galilee was where He was going to meet them. He was going to see them other times. But they were to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. And here it says the disciples would see. Basically, is what it's saying. My brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. But if you look back over into verse 7, it says, He is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see Him. She met Him. She clung to His feet. She worshiped Him. She went to tell people. Why? Because she knew she would see Him again. He promised, you'll see me again in Galilee. For you and me, we have that opportunity with the information, God's will that's written out for us in His Word. We can obey that. And when we do that, He will meet us on that road and we'll interact with Him. A worship service will break out when I interact with God. And when that happens, He will give me more things to do. And more obedience is going to learn. Getting excited here. More obedience will lead to more interaction, and more interaction will lead to more worship, and more worship will lead into more instruction and more obedience. Because you can never know enough of God. But one day, we'll meet Him again. So my question this morning is, with the information that you've been given just today, you've read it before, you've heard it before, the angel told all this information, and then he said, "Behold, I have told you." Basically, Jesus is no longer in the grave. He's risen. You can see Him. That's the information you've got. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the information that you need. It's life-changing information, but only if you obey it. Otherwise, it's just information. Information that you'll process and you'll pass through and do nothing with, and it will change nothing in your life. But when you take that information and you obey it, Jesus will meet you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible tells us that God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the wages of our sin is death, but Jesus Christ died on the cross and He rose again 3 days later, according to the Scriptures, all so that we could have a relationship with Him. And all we have to do is confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come and cling to His feet. Understand how much He loves you. And let your heart overflow. And one day, you'll spend eternity with Him. It seems too simple. But the love of God is right before you. Christian, maybe you're somewhere in that cycle. Maybe you've got the information. Maybe you're running down that road and Jesus is waiting to meet you and you just are not ready to cling to His feet and put everything else aside. That's what we've got to do, is cling to His feet daily. But like I said, if you're clinging to something else, you will never be able to cling to Him at the same time. But when we do, worship will break out. And it should, because one day He's going to split that eastern sky and He's going to come back. The trumpet of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us that are left, that are His, will be caught up to meet Him together in the air, and so we shall be with the Lord forever. He rose on that day that we celebrate today, but one of these days I'm going to rise too, and my prayer is that you do too. We worship a risen Savior. Do we really? Or do we just say that? We cling to His feet. Do we really? Or do we just say that? Do we take the information that we have and take it to other people? I want to close with one thing. Like I said, I know there were other women with Mary. But look at the difference it made when this one group of small people sought the risen Savior. She had to go and tell Peter and John before they ran to the tomb. She had to go and tell the other disciples that were still back in the room. Mary got to be a part of taking the gospel and changing people's lives. You have that opportunity too. One small group of people seeking the Savior changed lives. One small group of people seeking the Savior will change lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for who You are. Lord, you are amazing. We love you. God, I will never understand why you love me. But because of your word, I'll never doubt it. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place today, that we not only celebrate you today, but we worship you and cling to you and just be everything you desire us to be. Lord, help us give you honor. May you receive glory now and forever. Lord, we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.